Happy Bronze Victory Monday there, JP.
Yeah, with a dynamite drop in there. Is that what we're doing? Happy Bronze Victory Monday? Happy Bronze got a win day? What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't think there's any clever way to do this in a way that hasn't been hackneyed beyond belief. So I think you just call it a Bronze Victory Monday and move on, right?
It's definitely been hacked. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, it feels good, though. It feels good.
Like, you and I were coming up with synonyms for Slippery Wizard. We'll get to that at a later show. Yeah. We're trying to come up with something. I don't know that there's enough synonyms that are going to be interesting enough to do Browns Victory Monday. Like, Browns Progress Start of the Week. Like, I just think at some point it is what it is.
I love you teasing a future nickname to be had.
Yeah.
That was it. You definitely teased it right
this
there.
This is, if we had an everyday producer, this is where we'd pin that, pull that, and then play it like 5 years down the road for said person after we've been instrumental in their career just taking off.
I think the problem is that we would send the producer on like a 4-hour mission to come up with a great, great name and nickname for that, and then that would be all they do all day.
I don't see a problem. That's the difference.
That's productive.
No, that is. Okay. That's exactly how I want our producers working here. It's just fruitless endeavors that really never go anywhere, but occasionally do, which is kind of how I describe Browns football until Sunday. I'm just curious, like, because I think there's been a lot of things talked about, like, now they're not sellers. Now Jameis is the guy. How much can you put into one game without overreacting?
At first, I didn't want to overreact, and I wanted to kind of poke holes in the people that have been overreacting. I wanted to remind everyone that the Ravens have the worst pass defense in the entire NFL. I wanted to do the things that just kind of stink at the end of the day. But mm-hmm. You're like, that is sobering to think about all those realities that hit us. But I don't know, Nick, I really do believe like there's no such thing as too much of an overreaction to yesterday. This told me in many ways, and we can get to the Deshaun component to all this, but yesterday told me in many ways this team, Stefanski started looking good as a coach. All of a sudden, all these wide receivers that we left for dead started catching passes. David Njoku, I mean, my goodness, he looked like he did last year with Joe Flacco, looked like he was all of a sudden off to the races again. The offense had a pulse, Nick, and we hadn't seen that in so long. I'm thrilled.
So I think if you just put yesterday's game up to, it's just one game. Total buzzkill. But if you paint it for what it was a complete palate cleanser. Like, the energy was different. The vibe was different. It was fun. You could see the guys that there wasn't an albatross. And it's so easy just to make it about Deshaun the person. Mm-hmm. It's about the situation with Deshaun. Like, is it the worst thing in the world to say, hey, yesterday's probably not the end-all be-all. The next two or three games probably prove or disprove what yesterday really was. If nothing else, it was just a fun day to watch Cleveland Browns football and maybe play spoiler to the Ravens here and maybe take that step in the right
direction.
I'm going
too hard in that other direction there. I'm not doing the two or three more games. I'm putting a lot into yesterday. You're on a five-game losing streak up against a team on a five-game winning streak. They were a team that in the pregame show I said was the best offense in football. Lamar Jackson was destined, it feels like, this year. If he wasn't going to get the LeBron treatment where they just can't give him all the MVPs, he'd be getting his third MVP in six seasons. Derrick Henry is the leading rusher in the NFL by far. Yeah, I want to make a big deal about this one. So like, I'm excited to make a big deal about this
You're not going to start the show with the Super Bowl Super Browns because the morning show did that right off the rip. You're not doing that?
Not doing that, only because I came in at 4 o'clock. If it was the start of the show and if that was our bit, maybe we'd do that. Yep. It felt like a rebirth of sorts. I listened to Juan Thornhill today. I hate that Juan Thornhill's like, oh, well, the playoff picture is this now and we have a real chance. And like, you don't wipe away 1-6. That feels almost like we're in an abusive relationship if you're trying to wipe away 1-6 with that win against the Ravens.
Just sort of.
Very much so. But I
just kind
of. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it, and I absolutely love what I saw yesterday, and I do think it was a bigger deal than maybe some people are making it out
to be. Well, but see, I think the problem is, and this gets back to the it's just one game, is they haven't played consistently. Well, that's not true. They've played consistently bad. And so it's really great to see them limit the mistakes. It's really great to see the protection be in one game what it hasn't been in the previous, you know, seven games. It's great to see a lot of the things you saw yesterday. Now you need to do it again. And I think that's the thing. Like, it's almost like I'm not even treating them like pros anymore. I'm treating them like, hey, cool. That was fun. I enjoyed every second of it. Now do it again. Because
I like your standard being high, but I don't think it was an accident that yesterday we watched all the problems we had just kind of wipe away in an instant.
I don't think it was an accident either. But I'm saying, when you do that again, I'll start all that other stuff. Even if you don't win against the Chargers.
I was going to say, how many weeks do we have now? Do we have to beat the Chargers? Do we have to beat the Saints? Do we have to take the Steelers down? Like, how many weeks do we need to do this for you to say, okay, I'm going to buy into what I'm seeing?
More than one. Is it okay that I don't have a definitive answer? Because, like, I don't.
Well, it's not really what we do around these parts, Nick. But, yeah, I think it's okay.
Jamming me up. But no.
Let's see it play out radio.
But,
yeah.
Like, I think it's going to take at least 2 weeks. And even then, they'll be 3-6. Like, the season becomes, depending on what you now view as the end goal, the season's become a gigantic mathematical nightmare because your margin for error is nil. To go was at 9-8. You have to go 7-2 from here. For a team that hasn't put together two consecutive weeks of good football.
No, it's a heavy ask. But I left yesterday feeling like we have a season again. I left yesterday thinking like, all right, this is something that we can cook with. And also, I really didn't love the idea that we all thought, and we'll get to this a little bit later on with Stefanski and everything, but I did not love the idea that so much of what I thought about this season going into it was just me being flat out wrong. And there was a lot about yesterday, and maybe this is where I'm reaching, but there was a lot about yesterday that kind of affirmed that they did put a good football team together. Like, this is not a bad football team. There was just little instances and moments, and like, the 3rd-and-7 play in the very final drive that ended up being the first down. Do you remember that pass on the right-hand side?
Mm-hmm.
That play right there alone, like, you watch that play, the pocket collapsing, that's a play that Deshaun Watson would have been sacked in. Not a doubt in my mind. Jameis Winston got the first down. Like, there was little signs like that that just kept popping up all over.
So I think if you view yesterday, because this, I think we can meet in the middle on this. I think if you view yesterday as the Browns are going to be able to be competitive from here on out, amen. That's how we should feel. Now, the Browns are a playoff team again, a step too far. The Browns have a chance at being a playoff team again, a step too far.
Well, I mean, playoffs, you said it yourself, 7-2 is, that's a tall task.
And that, by the way, 9-8 isn't guaranteed to get you anywhere. But no, I mean, I think if we're going to celebrate yesterday as a win for competitiveness and playing up to whatever iteration you are, then I'm there. If it is Super Bowl, Super Browns, if it is the playoffs are in reach or the comeback begins yesterday, I need to see more. And I think you should too. I think I don't want to confuse that was a lot of fun with any definitive statement from a team that I still don't think I trust one game, no matter how good that game was or not.
Where does the lack of trust come from? Is it just based off of the first 7 weeks that were just so atrocious? Yeah. You just can't buy into any of it?
Well, I mean, because
it's fair. I mean, I get it. It's fair, but
it's also like
they shouldn't be able to buy your trust back with one good game. I get it, but there are so many different circumstances here, Nick.
Yeah, but at the same point, like this, we're not even a full week removed from warring with the locker room, and Shelby Harris saying the fans lost players. We're
I thought Jameis said yesterday we want them all back, right?
Well, and here's the other thing.
Doesn't that alleviate everything?
I believe he tried to bury that. Yes, he did.
What a sermon that was.
Hey, I didn't step into it a week ago. No, we're totally good now. Isn't this great? I love life.
Let's quote Eminem and have a good time.
Yeah, have you guys heard about this preppy little upstart number called Eminem? Never heard of him before, but you heard it here first. That's like when I tried to take credit for The Weeknd, even though I knew The Weeknd was already out. I was like, guys, I think I've discovered this guy.
Or as Jeff Phelps calls him, Saturday and Sunday.
That's true. Why would he leave out Friday, I ask? But getting back to it, like, okay, in that game, there were a lot of drop turnovers. I need to kind of see what happens when Jameis turns the ball over. I need to see what happens if the offensive line gets hurt again. This is the first Sunday, I think, that all five starters have played 100% of the snaps. I really loved what I saw yesterday, but I think there's danger. Like, this team has not done well with expectations. And every time you've called those expectations out, it's apparent that they get frustrated by it too, and they're taking their frustration out, or at least have, on the fans and media, lest we forget Amari Cooper's, do we need to turn the camera on you?
Yeah.
So, like, there is, like, part of this is calculated by me because, quite frankly, this team has failed to meet expectations more time than not just because they did it once. Just because they cleared that bar once, which, by the way, they massively overshot expectations. There's a lot of football reasons to understand why yesterday happened. And now you need to go out and prove it again now that there's, you know, 60 minutes of full tape on what this offense is with Jameis and where this defense is, especially if Denzel and JOK can't be out there this weekend.
I just think it wasn't the Giants. It wasn't the Raiders. It wasn't one of these, you know, slappy teams. This was a Ravens team that I think a lot of people, including myself going into this game, I was wondering if they're better than the Chiefs already this year. Like that's where I was taking Baltimore to. I was taking them to another level. Their defense took a step back, obviously, but their offense had been so good. And Lamar with Derrick Henry had just found a way. And even in that game yesterday, Lamar still almost threw for 300 yards and had two touchdowns. Derrick Henry averaged almost 7 yards a carry. They still were able to get theirs, and the Browns still ended up with a win. And so I look at it like it wasn't a fluke. And we talked about your golf game previously, right? Because you know I'm obsessed with golf. And
I've
been golfing with you before, and I know it. Every now and then, you can have one of those drives. You can have one of those drives that gets the ball out there 250 down the fairway, and you feel good about yourself. And
275, buddy.
Oh, sure. But like when we're watching it, we're all like, all right, that's you did it once. Can you do it again? And I don't think many people are expecting that. See, now I'm just trashing your golf game, and I don't mean to do that.
No, you should.
The point is, that game yesterday, that was watching somebody that comes with all the technique, all the skill, everything attached to it, and pipes it 250 down the middle, you're like, yeah, I'm going to see him do that a lot. That was that game yesterday for me. I'm going to see them do that a lot.
Well, then how are you going to feel if in a week's time it looks competitive, but they fall short at home to move to what, 2-7 at the time?
Well, competitive still is a long way away from what we saw for the first 7 weeks of the season. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not expecting that against the Chargers. I'm not expecting that out of the bye week against the Saints. Like, I have now raised my expectations with this team. I'm not expecting Jameis to go 330 every single game, though.
That feels a little much,
no?
Yeah, I don't know what you're expecting going forward.
I'm expecting competitive football. I'm expecting every time they step on the field, they should be able to compete with these other teams.
So, but it's like, I think we're right there, but then what happens if
we're a little far off for some reason here.
I don't understand the value in putting all your eggs into a win. I don't. Win the first 7 games, and we can put it as...
Do you think it was fluky?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I think you played the perfect quarterback to play against the worst passing defense in the NFL. And I think you had a team in a town ready to move past what had been the Deshaun situation and the Watson wars. Like, I think yesterday you had the motivation of Jim Donovan's untimely passing. Like, you had so many things going into that is an absolute perfect scenario to get that win. Oh, by the way, no one gave the Browns a chance to win. No one gave them a chance to win. Like, that's how that game...
8.5-point dogs.
Yeah, but that's how that game happens. Like, it was the perfect situation of you had the matchup advantage and then exploited it perfectly. Oh, and by the way, multiple drops by Ravens receivers. Like, multiple instances, multiple drops by the defensive backs. Like, I think it's okay if you're just like, yes, it was a palate cleanser and we're going to be competitive and let's see where that takes us from here.
I thought it was a breath of fresh air, and I'm looking at this now, like, going into next week, I have much different expectations now. Like, I'm in my mind, Browns football is back, and I look at other teams, Nick, and I see how a quarterback can just change so much. Jaden Daniels now in Washington, Jordan Love to Green Bay, all these different type of things, and I know Jameis Winston isn't that.
You see me smirking.
Well, I know Jameis Winston isn't that, but adding one quarterback that is at least competent, that it can at least make the right reads, that can go through the progressions, that can at least throw the ball deep, does matter a ton. We hate looking at it that way, because we like to think of football as like this 53 and the coaches and all-encompassing thing. Sometimes a sport's as simple as, do you have a competent quarterback? And Jameis Winston... it's more than competent yesterday.
216-474-0092. Are we overreacting to one game here? And that leads to Jameis equaling Joe. I don't think that equation is what you think it is. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
Now, that's part of the bit, is you got to pretend like it's the very first time anyone's ever heard it ever.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to let people in on it.
Guys, I don't know if you've... there's this band out of England. They're called Led Zeppelin, and... it's going to take a minute. You just got to find the right song, but they're going to blow your mind.
Is Jameis Winston just a big hipster?
I don't know.
Is that all that is? This is what this is, right? Isn't this the definition of being a hipster?
I kind of think that Jameis is kind of like a Rorschach test.
Oh, yeah?
Like, okay. I think he's just kind of throwing things out there, and you're going to see what you're going to see out of Jameis. Is that fair?
Did you hear the pregame speech that he had? He's like, do it for the names on the back of the jersey and the decal on the helmets. And then he stopped himself and was like, Browns don't have decal on the helmets, yep. But you know what I mean.
No.
Get after it.
So he's like, every time in any sporting situation, or like even with my kids where I'm like trying to like, all right, we don't want to clean up the house so grandmas can come over. And I'm like, guys, you get one chance in life. You get one chance in life to prove who you are as kids. And if you love your grandparents, like, it's just, you just start riffing. And even if it doesn't make sense, if the context, if it sounds like it makes sense contextually, you hit it on the head every time.
Okay, I just remembered something. Do you remember when Baker Mayfield first said, I move in silence like the G in lasagna, and then all of a sudden everyone was like, oh, Baker, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
And like, he got a lot of love for it, and Baker didn't get much love in those post-game press conferences. It was a lot of times people being like, why are you dressing like one of the robbers from Home Alone? And then anyway, so he loved it, though. And he was like, oh, people got my musical reference. And then he started dropping in musical references in every post-game show. Is that what's going to happen here? Is Jameis just going to start, forget Eminem. Like, next week's going to be Dr. Dre, and he's just going to keep working down the Rolodex.
No, you want to know why? He does not think that far ahead.
Okay.
Like,
he's an in-the-moment guy.
Like, he was literally asked.
I'm giving him too much credit
two
here.
Two separate questions by Amanda Baleonis. By the way, that sound courtesy of CBS Sports.
Great job with her name, by the way. But I don't know why that seems like a hard one for me.
It's a lot of sounds in there, okay. And you just have to be confident. That's what I find. But I think that's, like, I think Jameis is just like, if I say this confidently, no one's going to know. And we all know, but you won, so I can't call you out on it. Right?
Sounds like he should be a sports talk radio host if I just say it, confidently and loudly enough.
I kind of think that's where, like, guys, one time I said on air, I was like, it's not a must win game. It's more like a must not lose game. I literally said that in a very confident manner. And it took Spencer like 30 seconds to be like, wait, roll that one back.
What did that mean? What did that mean?
And I was like, I'm on to the next thing. I'm on to Dr. Dre now. I'm not back on the Eminem days. Do you think he knew what he was doing? Or do you think this is...
No clue.
I just think he's just throwing it out there.
He just threw it out there.
I think he's just sticking it... I think he's like improv. Just yes and. His own stuff.
I think we're being truthful about it. I think that he heard somebody at a convention recently say it. And it was stuck in his brain because of that. And he thought, well, it worked for that guy. I'm going to do it for me too.
All right. So while we're on this topic, why do you trust the Browns after one game?
It's not that I trust them. I just saw so many things that were different. And so I feel like that was, whether that was David Njoku, whether that was the receivers. By the way, we had so much doubt about all these receivers. And then yesterday, they all looked like they had a clue. I just don't think it was an accident.
What's this wee stuff, Kimo Sabe? Because
I'm Jonathan Homer right now. Come on, get with it.
I believe you were jamming me up last week when I was like, I didn't think they were a quarterback away. But I also didn't think they were like, tear it down to the studs. This whole thing stinks. There's no talent here. I remember a certain someone who I'm right here, Salton Vinny's.
I played wrongly with the assumption that Deshaun wasn't the entire issue.
Mm-hmm.
That was my problem. And then on Sunday, this is why I have such a breath of fresh air. This is why I feel so good right now, is I can put it all on Deshaun because everyone looked good.
Do you realize
it
that?
It wasn't like just parts of the team looked good. Everyone looked good.
Okay, but what happens if that lasts a week? Because I think that's
too many things fell into place for that to be like, oh, it's just going to last a week.
Are you new
here? Offensive line finally had a clue. Every wide receiver we'd ever questioned all of a sudden was awesome. Like, everything was going our way. Like, no, there were too many things went right for that to be a flash in the pan and a one-off.
You've been here for a decade, right? You've married in now. You have to know. You can't just say, well, too many things went right. Yes, that's when you should be most cynical about it.
I can, because we just watched Joe Flacco do it last year. If we had no evidence of it,
if we had
zero evidence of Stefanski being able to coach other quarterbacks, then maybe I wouldn't be able to have this take. All I have is a mountain of evidence that Stefanski knows what he's doing with other quarterbacks. It's so obvious what happened here. And sometimes when presented with the obvious, you got to accept it.
I think we're extending the love we had for Joe, who was everything I think Cleveland needed. He was the adult in the room. Sorry to throw that one up there.
Oof.
He was a guy who was just throwing the ball down the field. I think it is really dangerous to assume that over the course of an extended preview, Jameis can do what Joe did.
Why is it dangerous? He just did it yesterday.
Yeah, that's one game. And here's the thing. If he throws that, if Kyle Hamilton actually didn't have cement mixers for hands, you actually go.
But he does.
The conversation today is totally different. And
no, it isn't. It isn't. And I know that
yes,
because
it is.
No. I know that because the very first drive wasn't even done. And I was like, this is completely different. So sometimes you don't need a million years worth of seeing it with your own eyeballs to have a change of heart when it comes to this stuff. That's what I love about American Idol. There's judges in like 10 seconds. They're like, you're either Jessica Simpson or you're not. Like, they just know. In, what was it, 5 minutes of watching this team on the offense, we're like, oh, this feels different. Ross Tucker kept talking about it. He's like, this feels way different. And everyone was agreeing.
Yes, because the stakes were so low. There were no expectations. It is so easy to clear a bar that is a foot off the ground.
Yeah, but we have to go back and recognize that the bar was so low, and we had to actually understand how low it was.
Yes, and now they have to do it twice in a row, which they haven't done since last year. And honestly, they haven't done it since probably the Jets game and the game before it last year. Because after that was Cincinnati, and after that was Houston. So I so desperately want... this to be the thing. I so desperately want 5 more wins to happen here. I want you to be right. But trust is not earned overnight. And just because it feels better doesn't mean in the end it inevitably is, because Jameis is, listen, if Joe Flacco, if he's a roller coaster like the Mean Streak,
yeah,
Jameis is going to be the Millennium Falcon. Or Millennium Force, sorry, different thing. But he is like the peaks.
Yeah, I'd be on Millennium Falcon, if I'm being honest.
The peaks are high, the lows are lower.
Yes.
And so I think there is much more. I'm going to use this term because smart people use it, and now radio guys want to use it, so we sound smart too. There's going to be a lot more variance with Jameis than there is with Joe. With Joe, you could say he's tapped out at 2 interceptions. With Jameis, there's no tapping out.
I don't know. Joe felt very Leroy Jenkins.
I think that is a revisionist take. I think Jameis will throw 6 interceptions in a game if you let him.
6?
You don't think he can do it?
I'm not going to challenge him.
I'm just saying.
I'm not trying to prove me wrong.
I'm just saying there's a lot of really good vibes for a guy
6?
Who I don't even know he's going to be the starting quarterback after the bye. I still don't, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be realistic.
Well, that's because you think he might be traded, right? That's all that is.
I think maybe they could go back to DTR if he has a really bad game.
I don't know how you go back to DTR at this point.
If he has the 4-pick game, there's a certain amount of acceptable turnovers when you're also making explosive plays. But if those explosive plays come back down to earth in any way, shape, or form, and now all of a sudden you're doubling them up with more than 2 interceptions, I think is a sweet spot. I think you did this with Joe. Even with 2 interceptions, I think you can overcome it. But man, you start to get 3 interceptions or 2 interceptions and a fumble, it's going to get real humble real quick with Jameis. And all of a sudden, the Eminem references are going to be a little bit for the birds.
But they never hit when you're not playing well and you're losing games. They just don't hit. That's how that works. Yeah, we hadn't seen Deshaun throw a 300-yard game. The team hadn't scored 20 points in a game yet. I mean, it was night and day, Nick.
But how long is the bar going to be better than Deshaun? Because I think that's the trick.
For this season, I think that's all the bar really is.
It changes so quick. It really does. Like, even with what you said.
I don't think it changed much last year for Joe, and I don't think it changes much this year for Jameis.
If I had said, that's because Joe kept delivering at a specific output until he didn't. Like, it's going to take a bad game to get real sober real quick here with Jameis. And again, I think it's so easy today to be like, the sun is shining, we don't have to do... Because yes, that yesterday should be about... Not a shot in hell Deshaun's ever coming back. Yesterday should be about, see how carefree we can be when we don't have a $230 million albatross of a contract and trade hanging around our neck? 100%. But the you're better than Deshaun thing, or the offense looks more fun, I think it lasts for 9 more games.
Well, it wasn't just better than Deshaun. It was leaps and bounds better than Deshaun.
Well, yes. But again, at some point, you'll start grading Jameis against himself. That'll happen this year if he keeps starting. It might even happen this weekend, depending on how things look against the Chargers.
I don't know. We kept waiting for the wheels to fall off the bus with Joe, and it kind of did in that playoff game. And then we just kind of were like, it was fine, because he was exactly what we need in that moment. And I think with Jameis, I think he's going to be exactly what we need in this moment. I think that's just how people are going to look at it. He's not the long-term quarterback. I don't think anybody thinks he's the long-term quarterback. He's just getting us out of hell right now.
I think people are going to start to position him as the bridge quarterback, and that is a bridge that I don't know it goes where you want it to. Again, I'm not trying to be doomsday here. Today's a good day. It's a Browns
like
victory Monday.
An HBO special.
No, I feel like an interventionalist. Like I feel
the bridge
like
is going nowhere.
JP, sit down. We need to talk about your Browns thoughts here.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I told you yesterday.
Yeah, nobody hated it. Bleep all these touchdowns.
And I'll admit it. Listen, coming to work the past couple weeks, we have a great job. I love what we do. But coming to work the past couple weeks, I was like, man, do I need a vacation or something? Like, what's going on? No, I just didn't want to talk about bad football. And yesterday gave me hope that now for the rest of the season, something matters. Something matters about this team. And all these people that we thought could play football and could coach football, turns out they can. I vastly underestimated how much Deshaun Watson was weighing this team down, Nick.
If you wanted to be all about Deshaun, I'll give it to you. But let's not be surprised if things change rapidly or if there are wild fluctuations between the Browns' best and their worst.
I'm still on a free roll with Jameis.
Anthony and Kent, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, you know, Deshaun was the problem, but let's not kid ourselves. Jameis is, remember, Mr. 30-30? He's that guy. He would have had a couple yesterday if people, like you said, didn't have concrete hands. If the Ravens would have caught a few balls. We're having a different conversation today. It's funner to watch this team as it was last week, for sure. But, you know, last year Flacco came in and he was kind of comparable. He's a gunslinger and made a few mistakes, but the defense was exponentially better last year. And they bailed him out of a few games, gave him some more opportunities. This defense is not that defense for some reason this year. Miles never got home yesterday, really, for whatever reason. But the Ravens, they lost that game yesterday. The Browns didn't win it, but it will be a little funner. But make no mistake, you know, Jameis is going to throw an average 2 interceptions a game, and that's just how it is.
I appreciate you, Anthony. I'm trying to be realistic because I know playoffs are going to happen. So I'd like to enjoy the season as much as I can. I think Jameis will be fun. As long as he's in there, it's going to be hold on to your hat, and we're going to live moment to moment, and that is so much more fun than the just inertia sucking the life out of you as you are just like brought to the floor and brought to your knees because every play had to mean something with Deshaun.
Well, yeah.
But I don't think it has to be more than that until Jameis and the Browns prove that it is.
Well, I think last week we were talking about, and I think you made the point about how you wanted to use these next weeks as an evaluation. And I didn't think you'd have a fair evaluation. I just didn't think you would. I didn't know that Jameis was going to offer you that. At a minimum, you at least now get a fair evaluation of everyone at play here. The wide receivers, down to the running backs, down to everything.
216-474-0092. So let's just put it all out there. Was that, gosh, I hate using the phrase one game because there's such a connotation to it, but was that fun, but just one game? Or did the Browns come back, just get started? Lewis, Jim, you guys stick there. We'll come back on 92.3 The Fan. So as we're having the conversation about what does yesterday's win mean, I would put it more that where we are with Jameis, I think we're week to week. I know Kevin can't say that today. Kevin said today, Jameis is the starter. Of course you don't say that. You just got to win over a divisional opponent at home in a win you sorely needed. So that said, I think we're on a week-to-week basis. If you stack good games, then it starts to become you're stacking multiple opportunities at a time. But I don't think he's guaranteed anything through the end of the next game.
He gets one game at a time?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, at some point, they're going to look around and they'll realize that they don't want to win as many games as maybe they're winning. Like, if the postseason becomes out of reach, that is. I mean, I think we're both kind of playing with the idea. It's kind of wild to think that the postseason, until you're actually eliminated, you gotta still just kind of tread towards wins.
Yeah, I mean, you're what, 3 games back of a playoff spot right now?
Yeah,
it's crazy so,
yeah.
That sounds.
And Juan Thornhill, by the way, was very like, hey, yeah, I don't think people realize we lost to a lot of NFC teams. I don't know that necessarily matters as much as maybe some of the players think.
They really love the we only lost to NFC teams. It's wild.
They don't count the same for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's like when people come up with the AFC North games counting double. And no, it doesn't.
Yeah. No, it's been pretty much just.
Just every game is every game.
I mean, they're double the games, but each one of those games, they count the same as any other game.
They count the same. Yeah. That's all it is. At the end of the season, you got to get to 9, 10, or 11, and that's where you need to be. I look at Jameis, and I mean, yeah, this gave him some leash, in my opinion.
How much?
Well, I don't think you win any games with DTR. I think this completely flips in many respects. I mean, I read a stat yesterday And it was courtesy of our friends at the Action Network. Out of 80 qualified quarterbacks that have had 100 snaps in the previous 2 years, Jameis was 16th and DTR was 77th out of 80.
A lot of verbiage there, by the way.
Lot to tell you that DTR ain't great. Like, I think when you play DTR, what you're telling everybody is that winning games isn't our main focus.
I think that's a lot like when you played Deshaun. I would say the difference is when you have a young quarterback. I'm not trying to sell you on DTR. I'm not. Because this is not, I'm not anti-Jameis either.
Okay, because you kind of felt like you were going down to sell me on DTR type.
Not really, but okay. I understand why teams go to that card. You're correct, and the meaning is you're not trying to win. That's not the foremost thing you're trying to do every week. But the thing with Jameis is, you're putting a lot of eggs into that basket, putting a lot into a guy with this kind of variance. And I think we can say we've all seen this before. Nah, Jameis is a different kind of guy. And there were things out there about the Browns organization had already kind of soured on Jameis, which is why effectively he was benched as the backup 2 weeks ago.
I mean, he's a lot. He's a lot as a human.
Well, yeah, he is, but I think that's
that energy,
important.
That energy is fun as a starter. That energy is not as great as a backup.
I think the energy is forgivable as a backup.
I mean, you
as
saw,
a starter, when you lose, it's going to be unbearable.
You saw on the TV broadcast, he didn't even make it over to do the interview. They thought he forgot about the interview completely because his halftime ritual is to give everyone a handshake and hey, good job. Every player on the team. Who does that?
Jameis Winston.
Who does that?
And so that brings us back
man
to...
Man is Looney Tunes, which is tolerable as a starter, not as much as a backup.
I mean, this is still the team that would have traded Jameis at the start of the season if they had gotten a good offer for him. Like, I'm not here to tell you yesterday wasn't real. There was a lot that didn't happen yesterday that could have happened that is the real part of Jameis. I'm just saying after one game to say... He's here. He's the starter. I don't think they think that.
I think if you're
whether
going
you
back,
and I want that or whether they think that are two
know.
Very different things.
I think Stefanski and Barry know right now they need to get as many wins as they possibly can because they have to go ahead and put the shine back on themselves. I mean, they are in many respects coaching and then whatever you want to use for GMing. They're doing that for their job. And like they got to win as many games. But if you're going back with this core to whoever the quarterback is next year. Like you can't tell Denzel Ward we're not gonna. You got your sixth concussion and you're putting your brain on the line every single week, but we're not gonna go ahead and try to win games. Like you can't sell it to Miles. Like I just don't think you can. I think for those guys, you have to stay as competitive as you can.
I think the assumption is those guys are gonna be playing the final 8 games of the season. Is it 8 games? 9 games of the season. I think that's a big assumption to make.
Miles was off the injury report. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
There's a lot of where I'm at with the Browns.
You said
we'll
that
see.
Very confidently.
I did.
Very
again,
confidently.
If you just say it confidently enough, everything will be fine. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Lewis and Shaker. What's up, buddy?
JP, why are you hanging out with Nick?
he's a good friend. I like hanging out with Nick.
I'm tall.
Lord have mercy. Nick, I don't think that was an aberration yesterday. It was 4 key issues. First of all, let me ask you this question. How many sacks did we give up yesterday?
I don't think you gave up one. Oh, no, you gave up one, right?
One. And how many do we normally give up? Like 3, 4, 5? Okay, that's one problem solved. Number two.
in one game.
I don't know that it's solved.
Number two, Stefanski, not calling plays. Ball's going downfield. Number three, we got competent quarterback play yesterday. He sat in the pocket, and he delivered the ball. Same thing with Flacco did. Sat in the pocket. Deliver the ball. Number four, how many negative plays did we get from our running backs?
A lot. Nick Chubb ended up averaging like 3.5 yards per carry. It really wasn't very good at the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah, but was any like negative yards?
Oh, I didn't count the negative yards.
What I'm trying to say is 4 gives you 20, and then he gives you 3 minuses. And last but not least, we got competent left tackle play. I bet not see Jedrick Wills over there no more. Ever. If it is, yeah, we're trying to tank the season.
All right, Lewis, we agree on Jed Wills. Everything else you said was bat bleep crazy off one game. I'm sorry. Somebody has to be. You know what?
Wait, Jed Wills that bad? Is that what he's suggesting?
Yes. Well, I think it's more that Jed Wills couldn't be counted to play through the whistle, which makes him a bad player.
Okay.
If you're good for 2.5 seconds, but the play's for 4 seconds, you're not a good football player.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's all I had to say now. Because you brought it to my level talking about Jed Wills, and I was like, ah, somebody's inviting me to say, speak my piece on Jed Wills again. I will do that now.
Clearly, the sack issues is not 100% taken care of. Like, we can't live with that. We talked about Hamilton a ton, but like, look at the biggest play he actually made on the field. That was getting Jameis Winston's blindside and just, I mean, that causing the fumble, ending the entire drive.
All right, but do you know what we can account for?
He's much better than Deshaun.
This box. If Joel Bitonio kicks in like an obvious like Pro Bowl Defensive Player of the Year type edge rusher to the outside, Jed Wills won't ole his ass into the quarterback and then go, "How did that happen?"
Okay.
Let's go with Jim in Strongsville. What's up, buddy?
Well, first off, your buddy at left tackle did just that when he gave up the sack where Winston fumbled the ball. But let's not get carried away with that.
That's one time.
He totally oled. Yeah, one time, and it cost you 7 points. Anyway, yeah,
but that's 12 times.
I agree with you a ton, Nick. Most of it is the quarterback. Look, that's why the line. I mean, guy's getting rid of the ball timely. He had more time, but he was getting rid of it. But you're underestimating the turnover machine that was Joe Flacco. I mean, that guy had, like, in 5 or 6 games, had, like, 2 or 3 pick sixes. How many fumbles did he lose? He had lost, like, 4 or 5 fumbles. I think him and Jameis are pretty close on the turnover machine spectrum. So I agree with you, though. It was one game. But you got competent quarterback play. The rest of the team stepped up and did their jobs. And, look, if you could just get that, I'm not sure. Like, look, I'm not sold on DTR. I really don't have any – I really have seen enough of him, to be quite honest with you. I don't think there's too much more to learn. Like, I know they're always like, well, we got to see what we have. I think we know what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what's said for me with that kid is, like, how he even played, like, when he was back up last week. Well, I didn't – first off, who doesn't prepare to play? Who's, like, surprised and angry that they actually got in the game? I mean, I don't understand this kid. Like, you should be chomping at the bit to get in the game. And he's like, oh, well, I really didn't know. You're a player. You want to play, right?
Jim, you saw that offensive line. Would you be chomping at the bit to go in front of that offensive line 2 weeks ago?
Probably. He's a pro. Come on, man. You show me another second-year player that can't, like, wait to get in the game regardless of who's blocking out there.
Hey, Jim, we might need you on Sunday, okay? Stay ready.
Nick, by the way, be a man with your wife, buddy. You can't be letting her pout like that all day.
I'm going to let a woman do something. All right, Jim. Good luck with that, friend. Single Jim in Strongsville there. When we come back, it's time for the 5 and 5 on 92.3 The Fan.